Coversals kickoff. This is Radio City Talk.
Could there be a fifth world title shot in the pipeline for Martin Murray from St Helens? Of course, did the business against Gabriel Rosado at the weekend at the Echo Arena. And let's talk with him now. Morning and well done, Martin.
Morning, Steve. Thank you, mate. Cheers, thanks.
First of all, this was all done amidst the backdrop of your daughter going into hospital, and that's the most important thing. But she's come out now, so that's a massive relief.
Yeah, we got her home. She went in for a second operation on Wednesday. She was born with dislocated hips. She was in hospital, so I obviously couldn't see her from Wednesday. I nipped in centre for like 20 minutes, you know, I was making waves, I've just weighed in. And then I was sorting myself out for the fight, so I went and stayed there with her first night on Sunday, and we got her home Monday, so yeah, she's home now and recovering, so we're all happy.
Not really ideal when you're heading into fight night, because your mind's sort of a little bit split, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, but, you know, it was a massive thing for us as a family, and watching her go through that, but I just turned it into a positive, you know, everything I was doing, training, going there, thinking of her, and, you know, everything went well. Obviously, I thought the fight was easy enough for me, and, you know, people were expecting this war with Gabriel Rosado, but I knew, and I said in the build-up, it'd be a war if I wanted it to be a war, or I needed it to be a war. I didn't need it on Saturday night. It was a comfortable win.
Well, I thought you were very disciplined, very intelligent, really, because you knew what was on the line once you got past this fight.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, I mean, we had a game plan going in. We said with Rosado, he does the same thing every single thing, every fight. We knew he wasn't going to change. He fiddled about for a bit, tries this, tries that, doesn't work, and he just resorts to coming forward. So we knew, I said in the build-up, I was a better fighter all round, a better boxer, and I proved I was a level above. And, you know, I thought I did that. You know, I completely outboxed him, stuck to the game plan for the 12 rounds. He had a late push towards then because he needed a knockout. We knew that. And we, like I said, we just stuck to the plan now. I gave it me to about 8-4. I thought 116, 112, which one judge had it, was fair. The other one judge had it 119, 109, which was ridiculous. And I think it was the same about the draw because Teddy O'Connor had it a draw as well. But it was just, I think that people know I won the fight, but they're looking at that score and thinking it's a bit ridiculous, which it wasn't. I admit that, but I thought it was a comfortable win for me. I didn't really get out of second gear. I was a step in front of him all night, and yeah, it kind of keeps my career alive now. You know, hopefully get another world title shot off the back of it, and yeah, you know, we just see where we go from here.
It was interesting watching ringside the reaction to those points decisions by the judges, because you were outraged, obviously, at the 114, 114. He was outraged at the 119, 109. You both had your own separate beef, if you like, with the judges, which then sort of resulted in a little bit of tit for tat between the two of you. But you could see why the frustrations had arisen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can, and you know, I've said this. He started mouthing it off, but to be fair, he'd been mouthing it off all week. And with everything that my daughter was going through, going in hospital, I was in no mood to engage, because I knew if I engaged it and did lose it, I would lose it. And I could, you know, I needed to keep my head on the job and stay focused. But he was mouthing off a bit all week, you know, in the build up to it, and I just kind of like just let it go over my head.
Go on.
No, but then when he started mouthing off after the fight, I can understand his frustration with 119, 109, and, you know, if it had been like 116, 112 across the board, maybe he wouldn't have reacted like that. But he was mouthing off, and I wasn't happy with a 114, 114, and we just kind of obviously got into a couple of, I just went over to him after the fight and just said, listen, what are you mouthing off for? And then things escalated from there, and then it ended up like a bit of a scuffle at ring, and it was something and nothing, but he's obviously still mouthing off. He's basically just saying he thought he won the fight, but I know what he's trying to do. He's trying to get a rematch. He's trying to talk himself, convince people that he's not finished, because he was saying that if he gets beat here, he's going to have to pack in. And right. I know what he's like. You know, I've viewed him all week. He's a celebrity boxer. He loves the lifestyle. He loves the fame that comes with being a boxer. and he knows that if this, if his career's over now, that's gone. So he's just trying to talk his way back into another fight.
There's a bigger point in all this, and that's the point scoring. Now, you've been on the end of bad point scoring in South America, haven't you? If you looked at these three judges here and looked at this, you'd say, well, this isn't right. Something should be done. Because it's not just about this one fight. You get the sense that point scoring by judges is a little bit erratic all over the show.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look at them three judges, for example, on Saturday, you judged our fight. You know, one judge had it massively in my favour. One judge had it even, which it was far from even as well. But and the other judge, I think, had it right, which had it 116, 112. So, like, I mean, I know everybody sees a different fight and everybody's looking for different things, but I think that there should be somewhat similar. Do you know what I mean? I think them three judges had a look at things, saw three different fights. Do you know what I mean? And yeah. I know they're only opposite sides at ring, so they've not watched three different fights. And you know, you do see different things from different angles, but just it was just strange scoring.
Let's talk about the positives. When you came in the arena, you could see the beam on your face. I mean, you probably tried to hide it amongst the steely glare as well. But that feeling of headlining at the Echo and, you know, being the main event, if that was an important occasion for you, Martin.
Oh, massively important. Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been all over the world fighting these champions in the backyard and top the bill, so to speak. But you never top in the bill. You know, you're just making up the numbers. The person who's the champion, who's topping the bill over there. Like, you know, when I fought Abram, when I fought Martinez, they're the people who's topping the bill. So the last time I officially and properly topped the bill over here was when I fought Nick Blackwell in 2011 for the British title at Robin Park Arena in Wigan. So, you know, I've always craved topping the bill in big arenas. And obviously when I went, the first time I went to the Echo, I think it was Tony Dodson and Tony Quigley, I think, that fight, right. You know, which is going back, I think, when was that, to 2007, possibly 2008. I remember going there that first time, that show, I'm thinking, I'd love to top it here. This is what I want. So the fact that it happened on Saturday, you know, I was over the moon. I was absolutely buzzing. You know, the fight, people expected a war. But I knew it was, it'd have been like that if I had to be it. And this is no disrespect, but it, you know, if that fight had been a war, that would have been me dropping down to his level. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I did want the top fight, and I was happy that I was fighting him at the Echo. But you know, it could have been a bigger and better fight, and I'm hoping that now that I've topped it there once, I can top it there again in a bigger and better fight.
So who lies next, Martin? Who do you really want?
I don't know. I mean, I come out to the. It was make or break on Saturday for me. You know, it's been said many times before, and it's becoming a bit of a running joke. Or you know, how many make or break fights have I got to be in? But it was on Saturday because all the top guys have beat was Ardon. If I could have beat him, then I knew I couldn't really win a world title. But I beat him convincingly enough, and I'm happy with that. But yeah, I mean, I come out to the ring. There was, you know, I had a little chat with Eddie. They're mentioning Billy Joe Saunders. Eddie mentioned it. A couple of the media mentioned it. Obviously, I'd love that fight, but you know, I don't know what the chances are of that happening because I know Billy Joe Saunders is with WBO. I just won a WBA title. He's with Frank Warren and Box Nation. I'm with Matt Trim and Sky. They don't usually work together. I don't know if that can happen, but obviously, that's a fight I'd love. I'd love that fight. But, you know, I mean, I've had a few people from America calling me out now. You know, they want to come over. They said they'll happily come over here. But then, obviously, there's people like Canelo, who's moving up. There's people like Lemieux in Canada. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm just waiting. I'm just happy that I got the win. It kind of keeps my career alive. And, you know, we just see what comes up.
And a quick one, I thought on AJ against Klitschko at the weekend. Who are you backing?
You know, I keep swaying. You know, I was Klitschko, then I was AJ, And then at the minute, I'm thinking Klitschko again, but I'm gonna watch loads of fights this week, watch loads of stuff, really look into it, and then pick. But at the minute, I'd love AJ to win, but at the minute, I'm picking Klitschko. But that'll most probably change come Saturday.
The kickoff on Radio City Talk, your one stop for Merseyside sport.
This is Radio City Talk.